B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcast. I'm not even going to acknowledge that you're chuckling, Al, because it's something that people in the Twitch stream know all about, and quite possibly people listening to the end of this episode might get a little inside.
I think it should be the longest end tag we've ever had.
Right, the end tag is longer than the episode itself. My name is Chuck Bean, of course, joined by Al Beck and James for...
Sorry, Al, I got you on the wrong camera.
Did you get the empty
seat? Empty seat.
You got the empty seat, yeah.
Sorry.
There's
Love
Al.
Hey.
There's his beautiful smile.
Fantastic.
Face.
Thank you.
His
premature
face.
If you're listening to this... If you're listening to this and you had no idea, we are on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream live on Wednesday afternoon starting around 11:30. And, of course, we download the podcast wherever you get your podcast, part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And you can get us on YouTube. We're on YouTube in the same place we're all over social media, Nerd Radio 101. Al, James, the snow has hit us.
It has.
Like a mofo, too.
Yeah, it's only halfway through November, and we've already gotten, like 9 inches of snow or something stupid. But we got it at a perfect time, because this is the week that we got the Disney Plus streaming service
Almost like Disney can control the weather.
They can't control their own streaming service, so they might as well control something.
Right, but they gave a lot of kids a snow day to make sure that they could, you know, watch all the cool stuff that's on Disney Plus.
If it works.
I know that I logged in twice yesterday and got the screen that said nope. But I did log in like 3 or 4 in the morning and watch an episode of X-Men, the animated series, which I was super pumped
about. That's crazy, because I had zero issues whatsoever logging in on mine. Yeah, I mean,
good.
Downloaded it on my Roku and signed in, and I was watching The Mandalorian like nobody's business.
That was, we talked about last week. That was the first thing. A lot of people, that was the first thing they were looking into.
Yeah.
I watched it last night. It's not bad. I dig it.
See, you're not a big Star Wars guy.
I don't live and breathe Star Wars.
I really want to see what, because I did not get the, I don't have Disney Plus yet, and I'm debating on when or even if I'm going to get it, to be honest with you.
Mm.
So, but I am curious about what James thought of The Mandalorian.
Right.
Because you just said, Chuck, it's all right.
It's okay. No,
I know. I was shocked when he was like, it's just all right. I was like, just all right. I thought it was excellent. Like, I thought it was very well done.
It's
very
good. It's absolutely Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the way the cinematography, the way it's shot, the aliens that are in it, you get to see, you know, different vehicles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely feels like it's in the Star Wars universe. There's no like, this is subpar Star Wars. No, this is Star Wars. They spent the money.
Well, I'll be looking to James to sell me on it and maybe back up what you just said or disagree either way. But
okay.
I will say that The Mandalorian is the biggest thing that makes me want to get Disney Plus. I don't have it yet. And it's really not that expensive. As the streaming services go, it's very reasonable.
Yeah, it's like, I think, like six or seven
something like
bucks.
That. And you can do I think it's $7 a month. You can do the annual plan, which is basically you buy 10 months and you get 2 for free.
Yeah, but the annual thing, just right off the bat.
Right.
I wanted to make sure I got it before it started. I didn't want to miss out if they're like, well, you can get the annual plan, but now it's $75. I want to make sure I got it at the lowest rate.
Right.
That way,
right.
If it's garbage, I don't want to watch it.
So
I'm not losing as much money.
My thing is, The Mandalorian is pretty much the only thing that's really making me feel like I'm missing out by not having subscribed yet.
Right.
So that's why I'm going to turn to him to convince me, because I already have CBS All Access just because of Star Trek. Am I going to get Disney Plus just because of Star Wars?
Maybe we can make a trade.
Oh.
Little credentials trade,
very
huh?
Interesting.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, then what you got to know, you got to go into all of his other stuff and see what he uses that same password on. So you might have unlocked, like... The keys to the Chuck's treasures are
right.
Dude,
the kingdom.
Square Circle Roundtable next week. I'm in. His password worked in the network.
I did use the same password I used for my WWE network.
Well, you're safe. I'm probably not going to be.
the one thing he's not going to investigate.
You know what is funny is that a couple of weeks ago, Amy really wanted new phones because she can't get any service downtown.
and she's downtown more often than I am, so she really needs service. So she asked some of her friends, and they were like, oh, you should get Verizon. Well, Verizon has a plan with Disney Plus where I get a year for free because I'm a Verizon customer. And I have to wonder if she knew that going in, and I didn't.
Yeah, so her friend, by friend, I mean the ad that popped up on a website when I was looking into Disney Plus.
Right.
My friend recommended this phone plan to get the best service downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, and wouldn't you know it? You just happened to get a free subscription to Disney Plus for a year. Very convenient.
Because she's a huge Star Wars fan as well.
So, James, Mandalorian.
I loved it. I'm excited. I think they did a great job with how the character looks. There's a lot of things where I'm like, I'm trying to guess, like, is he going to be related to Boba Fett? There's some stuff that he does in there that I think was very particular just to the Boba Fett character in the Star Wars galaxy. I'm really impressed with Jon Favreau's writing. Like, you're going from the guy who was in Swingers.
Yeah.
Sure. Know,
he did Iron Man.
Yes.
And now he's writing, like, a series within the Star Wars realm. Like, what can this guy not do?
Right.
Because, like... His use of objects. I might be referencing some stuff from my film writing classes in college, but all these things that they tell you to do are ways to like get your viewers' attention and create mystery and all that kind of stuff. It's all in there. It's all there, and they leave you 40 minutes in with a hell of a thing to really get you.
It's true.
In. I can't wait till Friday. The next episode, I think, is going to be available Friday.
And oh, are
I'm
just, they? Okay.
I'm counting down the time.
I thought it was just going to be Tuesdays because it's not like it's not bingeable. They're doing a weekly release on this,
and I think that's genius of them because now, okay, let's
your numbers
say,
are going to be huge every time one of these hits. Yeah.
Exactly. So you have this episode. It's an eight episode series, I believe. So. 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, let's say somebody decided they're going to try it out just for a month. I'm going to give you my $6. I'm going to give it a whirl for a month. You're going to get sucked into the show. You're going to dish out the money at least for the next month.
Right.
And then you might find other things that you like that you want to keep spending your money on continuously. So I think it's a genius move on their part to not release the entire series.
But you could also do the thing as well. Like, you know, people are kind of starting to leave Netflix sometimes and but they want to watch Stranger Things. You could always buy it for the 1 month. You could do the same thing if you don't need it all right away.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did with Stranger Things. I was like, oh, man, July came back. I got in. I watched Stranger Things. And it was a few more things I wanted to see. Then a couple other things that were coming out. And
I think
I still subscribed. You know, I never re-canceled.
But if I got to a point where I was like, all right, The Mandalorian is the only thing I want to watch and I don't want to pay for it, I could just wait the 8 weeks. Get it for the 1 month, watch The Mandalorian, and then cancel it again. But you don't get to stay on top of it.
Absolutely.
I think you've both figured out the answer on why they've gone. We were talking last week about why they've gone from a bingeable here's the whole show to doing a weekly thing. Probably to keep subscription numbers.
Yeah.
To
probably
help those numbers up.
I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah. No, that does make sense.
I'm impressed that the spoiler at the end that we're avoiding.
Yes.
I didn't see it. But I had somebody on my Facebook that was like, I've seen that 4 times. Thanks for spoiling it for me.
Yeah, well, somebody tweeted it to me.
Somehow, I didn't watch it until like 10 o'clock last night and did not see that thing whatsoever. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's neat.
Well, see, even I got it tweeted to me, so I saw what it was, but I didn't know what.
You didn't have reference
for
it.
Yeah, I had no idea what that meant within The Mandalorian whatsoever. Just an image, a screenshot of something that you see when you watch the episode, like the big payoff for watching the episode. They tweeted out a picture of that and I saw it, but I was like, I don't know what this means. Is this a toy? Like what does this have to do with the Disney Plus?
I can sell Al on Disney Plus and The Mandalorian fairly easy. So I went to IMDb to check out, you know, who's in this series, who's in these episodes.
Okay.
Bill Burr's in an episode.
I did know that already. I listened to his podcast and he mentioned it. So
Brian Posehn is in the first episode.
Nice.
Which is pretty great. Carl Weathers.
Really?
Is in an episode.
All right.
Yeah, he was in that first episode. And Nick Nolte is supposed to be in an episode. I don't think he was in the first one.
He's in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte.
But there's a, if you remember the bounty hunter, this isn't, I think, too big a spoiler, IG-88, the big robot from Empire Strikes Back.
He looks, sure,
just
yes,
looks like
yes,
a cylinder
yes,
or something
yes.
like that. There's one of those droids in this episode, and I didn't know it until I looked it up on IMDb. He is voiced by Taika Waititi. The director of Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, okay.
So
that's cool.
And to comment on the Nick Nolte thing, he is in the first episode.
Okay, who was he?
I have spoken. I'll tell you that.
Okay, interesting.
I believe you might not see him physically, his face.
Right, but
I believe that was him involved with that character.
And did he sound anything like my impression of him?
Actually, it was pretty damn close. That's why I was like, I thought Al hasn't seen The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Right. No, I've seen him in other stuff, and my God. Man has not aged well at all. No, you started the right way, though, with Bill Burr.
Oh,
Bill
Burr,
he's my favorite comedian. I think it's a big selling point. And I did hear him talking about it being out now. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I need to go check that thing out.
You got Al Nolte over there.
Right.
Al Nolte, yeah.
I also noticed, just checking through the Marvel movies, they have a tab, at least in most of those movies, for extras. Like you would get on DVDs like that.
Yeah.
So like the gag reel, the extra scenes. I've seen some stuff that some of the extra scenes for Avengers Endgame features like a grown-up Morgan Stark, Tony Stark's daughter. Or there's supposed to be a scene that they cut from the movie where Peter Parker meets Pepper, I think,
really?
At the funeral or something.
That's
like
that.
That's
very cool. I didn't even delve into it. Dude, I watched The Mandalorian. And then I jumped right into my childhood cartoon.
Right into DuckTales.
Right into DuckTales. I was like, why? There's two episodes missing. I'm tweeting about it. I'm freaking out. There's two episodes missing from the first season. They probably don't mean anything, but I'm curious. Like,
it is interesting that there's some stuff missing. Somebody else I saw tweeted that there's a Disney Channel live action show that like only has one or two episodes of each particular season in there. Probably a thing just like the Marvel Unlimited service that me and Al do with the comics where they'll add it later.
Yeah.
Well, I know somebody tweeted me, so they have all the Simpsons on there. Well, the first 30 seasons of The Simpsons, pretty much every episode is in there, except for the ones that featured Michael Jackson. So there's some things that they've pulled out.
Interesting.
So I'm like, what did they remove from DuckTales?
Right.
Of all the cartoons that could have anything offensive that could bother somebody or not represent the Disney brand.
Oh, I would love
what would be in DuckTales, you know?
Yeah.
DuckTales controversy coming to Disney Plus.
On the other side of that, I saw a story that I just saw a headline that some of the stuff like Dumbo or some of the older Disney cartoons, they're leaving all that stuff in, like it's the uncut version. It's going to be on the
surface. So like those crows that like they'll still be in there, like they're not going to take all that stuff out. That's interesting.
I did see somebody tweet that Mr. Boogity is on there.
Add it to my watch list.
Ah!
I got Mr. Boogity on there. I got the Return to Oz on there. I need to throw Tron on there.
Yeah.
There was some other movies that I found that I'm like, oh my God, I forgot all about this movie. I have to add that to my list. But yeah. I was just so overwhelmed with, I watched like three episodes of DuckTales, two episodes of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, an episode of the X-Men, and then my fiance came home and was like, okay, I guess I gotta make dinner.
Stop watching cartoons.
I gotta make dinner now. Okay, back to real adult life.
I love it. I do think, though, with The Mandalorian, even if I do subscribe, I mean, I gotta check out the first episode as soon as I do have access, whether I buy it, whether we do a swap, whatever the case is. But I might start these shows, I might start waiting until it's done and watching it binge style. Because long-form TV, to me, it feels like writing for the trade for comic books. It
kind
just, you know, like I was just watching, we talked about Watchmen when it first premiered.
Yeah.
And you and I both really liked the first episode. I think they have four episodes that are out now on HBO.
Right.
And I was watching it, and I wasn't interested. And then I think it has to do with, it was intense, and I was into it, and then I took a couple weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. Like
knowing that eventually... in 2019, you will have access to like watch two or three episodes at a time if you want to.
And I just feel like, you know, comics are being written almost exclusively for the trade now, and TV shows are being written for long form, and they're being written to binge, you know, even if it is something that comes out weekly. So we'll see. I don't know. I really felt like Watchmen was good, and I'm not enjoying it right now. I need to just wait for 10 weeks and just watch it all at once. That's how Game of Thrones lost me.
Yeah.
I binged the first season and I loved it, and then I just could not follow it week to week, and I haven't watched it since.
Well, talking about TV, Rick and Morty's back.
Yeah, that episode that premiered, what, Sunday?
Yeah. Rick and Morty came back on Sunday. They're doing five new episodes. It's been 2 years, I guess, since we've gotten...
But they're only going to do five new episodes?
They are.
Come on, Dan Harmon. Put the boots down, Dan Harmon. Write some episodes. Get it together. You got a hit show. The fans love it. We want to watch it. I need more than five episodes.
Right.
That's crazy. I'm not going to buy your DVD if there's only five episodes on it.
Well, that's true. But the episode was fantastic. Have you seen it yet?
I missed it.
No,
what was Sunday? Well, yeah, Sunday we were traveling, so I was coming back. And
yeah, that's right. You guys were
dealing with
in
all
Boston.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was... It's everything you want from Rick and Morty. It's got a concept in there that's very Doctor Who.
Okay.
That they turn on its ear very quickly in the way Rick and Morty typically does.
Perfect.
It's very, very fast, very fun. Lots of, Jay Moore in the comments saying the post-credit scene was amazing. It was.
Check it out. Al, are you a Rick and Morty guy?
I am not. I've been, you know, Chuck's tried to sell me on that one too, and I've watched maybe half of an episode.
It's like an animated adult Back to the Future, but
yeah.
Like, so, how could you not like Rick and Morty?
He described.
There's a character whose name is Mr. Poopy Butthole. Okay,
that's how
that has what sucked me into the show.
That's how James got into the show.
Yeah. I'm literally sitting on the couch, and my fiance, well, she's my girlfriend at the time, was like watching. We got to check out this Rick and Morty show. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I'm like doing whatever, not really paying attention, messing around on my phone. And then I hear, you know, Rick go, well, hey, it's Mr. Poopy Butthole. Thanks, Mr. Poopy Butthole, blah, blah, blah. He's a friend of the family. I'm like, did they just say that character's name is Mr. Poopy Butthole? She's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
My favorite is when they make like the vinyl pops or something like of him and they have to call him Mr. PBH.
Do they? I never noticed that. They don't call him Mr. Poopy Butthole?
No, they don't.
So the Funko Pops don't say Mr. Poopy Butthole?
Not that I'm aware.
That's crazy because I saw a Mr. Hanky Funko Pop.
Right.
But I guess his name's not Mr. Poop Hanky or whatever. It's right. Just Mr. Hanky, but you can tell it's
it does have poop and butt in it.
It's a turd with the Funko Pop eyes.
Right.
That's crazy. I have to pay more attention to that.
I do need to watch this show. I don't know why. I don't know why I haven't like been able to just sit down and do it. You've described it similarly, but you said it was like an adult animated Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's very like the initial concept is very Back to the Future. It's the old man and the young man, and the old man is the scientist, and the young man has really no reason to be there. But he's kind of the apprentice. But the fact that there's time travel and there's reality hopping and, you know, Rick is almost essentially a Time Lord and immortal, turns it into Doctor Who. It's basically what if Doctor Who was written by the guy who did Community?
Right. And well, that's the other thing. I did not realize it was Dan Harmon until you just made a joke about him.
Yeah.
And I loved Community.
Community was so good.
It was great, yeah.
So honestly, that was a bigger selling point than anything else that you guys said.
And if you want, I do have the first two seasons if you want to borrow them.
Okay.
And delve in and see if you enjoy it.
I think it was on Hulu. Hulu. Is it?
Okay. Yeah. No, it is.
Because if they took it down, I'll take you up on that offer. But if it's on Hulu, I have it.
Yeah, let me know. It might take me some time. I'm still unpacking in the new place, right. So some of that stuff is still put away. But I'll dig it out for you.
That's one of the few ways that Amy has broken my heart is that she does love Rick and Morty, but I've shown her Community, and she's like, "Man, it's okay."
What?
Oh, man.
I'm like, what? No, Community is great.
Very well done, hilarious show.
It is on Hulu.
Yeah.
Just checked.
All right, so let's take a quick break here for the podcast listeners, and we'll be back. I've got some news about some movie trailers that came out in the last couple of weeks. There is some wrestling news.
I haven't seen any of them.
There's a little bit of wrestling news. I won't get too heavy in the wrestling because we did take up like almost the entire show last week talking about wrestling.
From the top rope!
Yep, and there's even some music news to get to because the three of us do work at a rock station. There's some stuff that intersects very well that I found over the weekend. So Nerd Radio coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, this is Tara Platt.
And Yuri Lowenthal.
And you're listening
to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, as well as on the podcast page in Boston.
That's right, rock929rocks.com.
Yes, and of course on the Twitches, or on Checkpoint's Twitch stream Wednesday nights, or Wednesday afternoons, Jesus Christ. Where can people find us, James?
You can find us Wednesday afternoons around 11:30 at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
I'm just going to shut up and let you guys do your lines.
All social media is Nerd Radio 101.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Every social media site that matters, even YouTube.
That's right.
Yep. Does that count as social media? I don't think so.
I think so. I count it as social media.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
You can leave comments and
there are
make
clips,
people feel bad about themselves.
Clips and full shows up on the YouTube page.
Yes, absolutely. So you can get Nerd Radio on demand.
Yes.
As nobody requested.
Right. It'll come up in a deposition down the road.
Right. So
there will be charges filed.
I wanted to hit some comic book stuff because I love comic books. It's been a cornerstone of this show forever, but you know.
That's how I ended up on the show.
It is how you
end
up on the show.
Someone to bounce comic books off of.
Right.
And somebody else knew how to
read. Yeah, because Jefferson didn't care about comic books. So I'd have Al on the show, so I could bounce comic books. And now Al doesn't read anything. So.
No.
So it's totally on me.
It is.
To suggest comic books for you guys. So this came out a couple of weeks ago. It's part of DC's Black Label. It's called Joker and Harley, Criminal Insanity.
That was the Black Label. That was like the adult version. That's where the
right.
Bat Dong was.
That's where the Bat Dong comes from, right?
Ooh, or so we're going to see some Harley Quinn bits?
No, you do not.
I was hoping for some nips.
No, the reason this book grabbed me is because it's kind of an alternate universe. And the guys who are doing it, it doesn't have anybody working on it that I identify as far as the artists or writers.
Okay.
But the people who are working on it were obviously huge fans of the Hannibal TV show that was on.
Which you were as well.
With Mads Mikkelsen. Because it definitely feels like an alternate universe take on it. Harley is a profiler for the Gotham Police Department. So she's kind of the Will Graham of this. And mm-hmm. Joker is the Hannibal Lecter. In this particular thing, he keeps leaving these absolutely grotesque crime scenes, and she's trying to profile him to figure out, you know, how they can catch him before he does it again, kind of thing. It's only one issue in. I'm pretty sure issue two is like either next week or the week after. But it's got an interesting painted style to it. And if once again, I brought it home because I was flipping through it. Somebody had recommended it to me at the comic store based on that. You liked Hannibal. Well, this is like Hannibal and Batman mixed together. And I know that Amy continues to watch Hannibal.
So Hannibal, the TV show.
The TV show.
You feel like that inspired the artwork in the comic. Can I see
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely.
Can I see it over here? I'm interested to see what all you mean by that.
Yeah, because there's like one of the crime scenes is a body is sewn together with extra arms to look like.
Wow, these are like every page is like a painting.
Yeah.
The details on the characters is crazy.
So it's interesting. If you're a, like I said, if you're a fan of either of those two things, definitely go to your comic store and find that.
So they actually get actors and actresses like to pose for these shots, and then they draw over them. Are these people?
Some artists draw this
because this right. looks like a
one of, like the color art is done by Mike Mayhew, and he's definitely one of the guys. Greg Land is another one that you might be familiar with, Al. That is notorious for just taking pictures of people from magazines and whatnot, and then just drawing it. Into a character, like people say, all of Greg Land's blonde people look exactly the same. Like he was drawing X-Men for a while, and if he drew like Dazzler and Emma Frost in the same issue, they look like
twin sisters.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, they look like the exact same woman.
Now, if only Rob Liefeld would take pictures of feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Before he drew,
or the fact
Is that
a
feet man, huh?
Or the fact that nobody wears that many pouches. Nobody.
That's what Chuck's big complaint is, he can't draw feet.
Well, maybe Chuck's a foot man, you know? He likes the feet. You want to make sure those footsies look good. He wants the details.
I don't know.
Nice painted nails.
Look, it's just that everybody else seems to be able to do it. Why can't Rob?
You'd think that'd be like a part of the test to become an artist is you have to be able to draw the basic anatomy of it.
No, you just have to be able to draw in a unique style that people are very entertained by.
Well, what about those like art school tests that you used to have TV commercials for? You'd have to draw like the turtle. You remember those? You know, you think you'd have to draw a foot.
The artwork is great in this book. It's amazing.
It is very.
I didn't get it initially because it's a $5.99 book. The other, like the Bat Dong books, were $7.99. But it's a $5.99 book, and it's really thin. And I did.
Yeah, I thought it felt kind of thin.
I did not appreciate how thin it felt as a comic. At least the other, like the Batman Damned books and the Superman Year One books, were kind of substantial for your $8.
Sure.
Then I need the Bat Dong. I'll pay the extra $2 for the Bat Dong in every issue. Just give me the Bat Dong upgrade.
It's not even erect, James.
It's okay. It's still, I have documented proof of Batman's wiener. That's all I need.
James will show up for a $2 dong.
All yeah, right. $2 dong. It's like, it's like a $5 pizza.
Hot and ready.
You keep on going with it. I like it.
Does that mean
it's a good roll?
It's a $2 foot long?
There you go. And then Chuck gets in on the action, too.
Oh.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Going down to Dirty Town. The other book I brought you, which is not from Dirty Town, is a favorite of both mine and Al's. It's a one-shot, Lock and Key.
Oh, nice.
Lock and Key Returns. This was a neat series written by Joe Hill, which is the son of Stephen King. It's got some horror roots in it, but it's also got some really, I don't know, heartwarming kind of Stranger Things, you know, stuff going on. It's based in Maine in this house that has all of these, that's called Key House, but has all these different keys that when you use them on different doors, do different things. Like one of them would allow you, your spirit to leave your body and go around and do stuff. One of them would allow you to change gender if you went through a particular door.
I would never get anything done if I changed genders. I'd just be too busy looking at myself in the mirror and
this is a one shot
and poking and
from what I understand, this is This is the beginning of them coming back next year for Lock and Key. Lock and Key has also been optioned by Netflix to be a series.
To be a show?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's part of the reason I think they're bringing the comic back. But this is called Lock and Key Dog Days. It's a pair of one-shots, and it's done by the original artist, too, Gabriel Rodriguez. The first story, which is what the title is based off, there's a key that allows you to go through a doggy door and become a dog.
Oh, nice.
Or allows their family dog to become a person.
I would love that. Both. I would love to become a dog.
Right.
And then I would love to have my dog become a person.
Yeah.
That way I can actually communicate instead of pretending.
At the beginning of the story, there's these...
Dog James, stop cleaning yourself!
I can't. I can't stop. It tastes so good. It feels so good at the same time. It's like a double trouble.
Yeah, so the beginning of the story is these pair of brothers from earlier in the series, like in the 1900s, something like that. And the third kid that's with them is their family dog, and he keeps saying stuff like, "Sometimes I like to throw up and then eat it."
Yeah.
But it's a cute story. And then the second story is kind of the characters from the original Lock and Key, and them. It takes place after the original series. The original series is about 6 trade paperbacks. That's how I got into it. That's how I got Al into it.
Mm, yeah.
It's a fantastic series.
Well, it sounds like they have a lot of ways to go and to take your stories if each key,
yeah,
each door gives you a new ability or a,
right,
like a new twist. I like the idea
and the,
of that.
And the fun part of another interesting part of the series is that only kids can see the magic of the keys. So once they grow up, they have no idea that that Key House, you know, had all these magical powers or anything
so
like that.
So when you become an adult, you're oblivious to
Oblivious to all the crazy happenings.
So it acts like everything that you see is just a figment of your imagination.
Exactly. But that book was also $4.99 and didn't quite feel like it should have been.
Man, the price of comics is going through the roof, man.
It's really ridiculous.
Like that senator complaining about the rent all those years ago.
Yeah, the comic books prices are too damn high.
Senator Chuck, everybody.
There's some trailers that came out. I know neither of you guys are trailer people, but I wanted to at least inform you of some stuff that we can look forward to coming out in 2020. There's a trailer for new trailer for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie came out.
They fixed it.
They fixed Sonic. He looks much more like cartoon or video game Sonic in the new trailer.
He's no longer something out of my worst nightmares.
Right. People are much happier with this particular trailer of Sonic.
Sonic, that's the trailer I would watch.
I've also seen some people conspiracy-wise saying it would have been way easier to have made the movie with cartoon Sonic and then release that trailer with the original nasty looking Sonic than it would have been to have to actually have to go back
or
and fix the whole movie.
If you want to go down the wrestling work, you know, conspiracy,
right?
Maybe they put the bad Sonic in just to get all this outrage.
That's
get
what
all this outcry.
Yeah, that was what the theory was. Is they did it specifically to get people to be all upset about it. So they
just like how Popeye's chicken is murdering people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The sandwiches are so good. You'll kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that movie was out already. Like, I mean, it seemed so long ago that
I think it was supposed to be out in this month in November.
Yeah, like holiday times, I thought.
They pushed it back so they could fix Sonic. But it looks like it'll be really fun. James Marsden is in it, and Jim Carrey is playing Dr. Robotnik.
Right.
So that'll be...
Maybe I might have to go watch that trailer.
That'll be a fun time.
My trailer rule is if it's something I know I'm going to see. Like, I won't watch Star Wars.
Right.
You know, if a TV commercial comes on for Star Wars, I leave the room. I mean, it's ridiculous. But Sonic, I don't care.
Yeah, that's one that I need to be sold on.
Yes,
like, what
100%.
Am I going to see? Like, sell me on the movie.
There's
Jim
no
Carrey
part...
acting crazy again? Okay, he's
kind
of have my attention. Sonic from Hell? No. But cool, nice, friendly, you know, my friendly neighborhood Sonic you know, from my childhood, isn't it? Now you might get my $8 or $9.
And I loved the game when I was a kid. Like, I have nostalgia and, you know, appreciation for Sonic, but I don't care about the movie.
Yeah, will Tails make a cameo? You know, is Knuckles going to show up?
Right.
The gang's all here, everybody.
That's the thing, too. I don't feel like Sonic needs more than one movie. Like, I don't need a Sonic trilogy.
You don't know until you see the movie. You never know. The Dr. Robotnik, he kept coming back every level. He kept having to destroy his machine and free all those little animals that he was turning into robotic, I don't know, minions.
Right.
Tails starts shooting up in the second episode.
No! Tails! No!
Oh, no!
It's like that issue of Green Lantern, where the Green Lantern Green Arrow issue cover, where like you find out Green Arrow's ward was doing heroin.
Yeah,
And his name was Speedy. He had to know something was up.
The Sonic trilogy gets real dark.
Oh, my God. Somebody tweeted, though, that between Detective Pikachu and the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, the Super Smash Brothers cinematic universe is off to a great start.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that would be wild if that were to take off and they're just involved in a whole bunch of battles and stuff.
Yeah, well, I guess you could go, if you wanted to go further back, there was a Super Mario Brothers movie, so that would count.
Yeah, I think Bob Hoskins is going to be too old to pick up the Mario character nowadays, though.
There's a Final Fantasy VII movie, some Clouds and Smash Brothers. So,
oh, that's right. I forgot about
John
that.
Leguizamo could probably use the work.
I'm sure.
As Luigi. Actually, I think he was in the new John Cena movie I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So maybe he doesn't need the work. But.
Well, another movie that I'm kind of excited about, bringing something from our youth back, is they're doing a CGI Scooby-Doo movie next year. It's called Scoob.
Scoob? Oh, they're going to call it Scoob?
It's just called Scoob.
They're going to call it Scoob. Come on.
And it bridges between the origins of the Mystery Machine Gang and a new current thing that's going on.
We finally get to find out what's in those goddamn Scooby snacks?
No, but we find out how Scooby got his name. It's right in the trailer when he's a stray dog that a dude's trying to catch, and he comes across Shaggy, and Shaggy offers him a sandwich, and they befriend each other. And then when the guy's like, I gotta take the stray dog away, he's like, this is my dog. And he asks him what his name is, and he looks down on the ground, and there's some Scooby snacks, and he's like, his name's Scooby.
Huh.
It's real cute.
And then he's smoking a doob, so he's like, his name is Scooby Dooby.
Dooby?
Doo.
Yeah. Will Forte is playing Shaggy, or doing the voice of Shaggy in this particular thing. Amanda Seyfried is doing the voice of
I like Will
Daphne.
Forte. Yeah, that's cool.
Will Forte is pretty great.
I think that hunk of a man, Zac Efron's got a role.
Zac
there,
Efron
right?
is Fred?
He's Fred, huh?
Yeah. Wow,
the leader of the bunch? I don't know.
Right. So I don't know. The trailer was real cute. I'm looking forward to seeing what's it. And it implies, like, there's a scene where it looks like they get picked up by aliens, and they're in the alien ship. And I swear I saw, like, the Blue Falcon symbol on the wall there. Blue
really?
Falcon and Dino-Mutt. So if Blue Falcon and Dino-Mutt are in this, hell yeah.
That's a cool little Easter egg if that is the case.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be into that one, only because I feel like it's going to be too childish.
Oh,
but
yeah, it's definitely
kind of gets my
kids.
Yeah, my interest going is the origins of the team
coming
together.
Yeah, getting to see how they came together as kids.
You know, like, what was Daphne doing?
Did you ever see that cartoon, the pup named Scooby-Doo cartoon when they were all kids?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, that was like, I don't know, mid-90s or something like that. That was a Saturday morning thing. It was good.
I might have been out of the cartoon game at that point, mid-90s. That
right.
would put me junior high.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about, like, going back to Disney Plus, going back to, like, the X-Men animated series. I was like, that's my childhood, and it's my childhood, too, but I was, like, 15 when that came out.
Oh, I was going to say that. You're trying to age yourself out, James. Chuck was 30 at the time.
Hey, it's okay. I watched.
I was not. I was
I watched
13.
Nicktoons. I watched Nicktoons well into high school. Like, I should have stopped watching Rugrats and,
right.
like, those shows many, many years before that. But for whatever reason, I love Doug. And I loved the Rugrats.
Right.
I loved All Real Monsters. So I was watching those well into high school.
SpongeBob.
I got into SpongeBob, but I was watching those shows, and I was like, I can't.
By then, I had discovered TV Land, so I was.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, I love Lucy.
I love Lucy, Gomer Pyle.
I can watch the Donna Reed show every night.
McHale's Navy.
The other movie I want to tell you guys about, I don't know if you saw this trailer, but they're making a movie based off Fantasy Island.
Yes, it's supposed to be a scary movie, right?
Yes, it's done by Blumhouse, and I think it's what's his face that did Us, and let me take a look here.
Peele or
Jordan Peele?
I think Jordan Peele might be involved in this. I could be way wrong, but yeah, they're doing a horror movie based on Fantasy Island. De plane.
Yeah.
Right, and the guy who's playing the Ricardo Montalban in this is Michael.
Con. That'd be Con.
It's Michael Peña.
Oh, is it? Is it Michael Peña?
Yeah, it's the guy who tells the stories in the Ant-Man movie. It's Michael Peña. All
right.
But yeah, it looks like it's it looks fascinating. I'm definitely, you guys know that I do a horror movie podcast, and I'm like, oh, this looks good. I got to see this. We're doing an episode this week on the movie Mandy, which I don't know if either you guys are familiar with.
Never heard of it.
It's a Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, God.
I was trying to tell Amy about this. Yeah, so when I say it's a Nicolas Cage movie, like, you have a movie in your head that you're like, okay, I know what this is. It is not that movie whatsoever. But there is a fascinating scene midway through the movie where Nicolas Cage is on LSD. And he's like, I think it's the end of the movie, and he's driving this car away from everything that's happened, and he looks over in the passenger seat and he sees his dead girlfriend, and she just looks normal, and she just gives him this smile, and then it cuts back to him, and he's not covered in blood from all the stuff that's happened in the movie, and he smiles at her real peacefully, and then it cuts to what he actually looks like, and he's just like, he's giving you this weird wild-eyed Nicolas Cage smile, and he's covered in gore. And that's one of like the only, it's two parts that it's like, okay, that's Nicolas Cage. But the rest of it is a fascinating movie. It's like an art house movie. I feel like I should have done drugs.
I will tell you this, Chuck. We've got a couple computer screens between us.
Yeah.
All I could see was your eyes when you did Nicolas Cage, and you nailed it.
I thought it was a hell of a Nicolas Cage impression myself, too.
It really was.
Fantastic. It's too bad the podcast listeners couldn't see it, but we'll definitely have to share it on our social media this week so you guys can see my Nicolas Cage impression. All right, a couple more things to get to. Like I was saying earlier, there's some interplay between rock and roll and video games that I definitely wanted to get to. And
sounds dirty.
Something for you guys.
The interplay, Al?
Almost exclusively.
Something for you guys to we're gonna play a little bit of a game. These usually don't work out well.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Uh-oh. Really.
But I have a question to posit to you guys.
Every time we play a game, I just get annoyed and say, I don't know.
Right. I have a question to posit to you guys, and I'm gonna tell you now so you have time to think about it during the next segment. That's Al's brain.
Yeah.
Right there. That's what it sounds like. All right. So is there a game? Doesn't have to be a video game, a card game, a board game. Is there a game that you know you are just untouchable at? Coming up, Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
I won nothing. Well, I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. Welcome back to Nerd Radio on your social media at Nerd Radio 101 on the podcast page at WRAF.com on another podcast page all the way in Boston.
That's right, rock929rocks.com.
And, of course, on the Twitch stream Wednesday afternoons at 11:30.
Get just at the checkpoint. Channel. That's twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
I wasn't sure if you had the camera on me. I just kind of give you a nod, just like, hey, take it. Yeah. Take it, James, because I'm not doing that anymore.
Right. And find us across social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think Gmail address is also Nerd Radio 101.
It is.
Yeah. And yep. Also YouTube.
Basically,
well.
Whatever you find Nerd Radio 101, probably us.
We hope.
Probably us. Hopefully.
No one else would claim to be this.
Hopefully just nobody better than us.
Yeah.
Right. That's secretly, that's why like I always try and get the Z in my name, because there's a bunch of Chucks, but there's not a bunch of Chizucks.
Chizucks. Right. That's how you pronounce it. I was like, do you pronounce the Chizuck. Z, or is the Z silent?
You pronounce it like Snoop Dogg would.
Okay.
Because I had a friend in high school, shout out to Frederick Rickhang, that follows me on Facebook still. I had a friend in high school that would always be Chizuck, what is up?
Look at that, we got the Chizuck origin story.
There you go. Thank
right
you.
Here on Nerd Radio. I love an origin story.
The more you know.
The more you know.
I'm happy to know that. I'm happy to hear how the Chizuck started.
This weekend was the first AEW, well, not the first, but the first since their TV show. Pay-per-view AEW Full Gear, and they brought it.
Did they? I did not watch it. It's $60, right?
It was, yeah.
See,
it
they're going to lose me on every pay-per-view if I got to pay $60 when I'm going with the competition for $10.
It was expensive, but man, oh man. So we talked about it a little bit last week, and I'll just kind of give you the highlights. Cody Rhodes was facing
Le Champion.
Yes, Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho.
With if he lost this match, he was not allowed to challenge for the title ever again. And they had the judges, the three, like the boxing judges. His buddy, his protege, MJF, threw in the towel during the match, which meant that Cody lost, which means Cody cannot, you know, challenge for the thing. And at the end of the match, he was, you know, him and Cody, he was like, I'm sorry, I had to do it. I didn't want you to get hurt anymore. I'm sorry. And Cody's like, I understand. And then he blasted him in the junk.
Okay, so MJF now is part of the inner circle instead of being
I don't know
best
if he's part of the inner
Cody
circle,
Rhodes.
But he's a heel.
Okay.
He's super heel now. Yeah, he turned on Cody. And then the main event, the dark match, or the lights out match, they called it, because the winner would not count towards the standings, was John Moxley and Kenny Omega.
I saw some clips from that. It looks like it was like a hardcore wrestling match.
It was a bloody hardcore match. There was barbed wire everything. There was broken glass. There was they pulled up the ring mats, which I never saw that until I think it was last year, the year before in NXT. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa had a really kind of bloody hardcore match, and they pulled up the ring mats. I've always wondered what's under there. I've always kind of been like, how do you build a ring? What's under? Like,
what
I
is
see
it?
There's
what's
a metal
there?
Two by fours.
So it's all wood.
It's when you pull up the canvas, there's like those wrestling mats that they have in high school.
Okay.
And then under those are just effing two by fours.
Oh, man.
Huh. And they took some, like, Kenny Omega jumped off the top rope onto the two by fours. Like, John Moxley moved and he just landed on all these two by fours.
I think it's crazy how much of a hardcore wrestler Moxley's become since leaving WWE. Like,
yeah,
was he interested in doing that kind of stuff
before
beforehand?
He was in the WWE? He was in CZW, and he did like those light tube matches and all that crazy stuff. So yeah, they're you know, he's going back to that.
Yeah, because I mean, I know him as Dean Ambrose,
right?
You know, I know him more like that. But
he was the lunatic fringe. But
yeah, I'm like, what's so lunatic about him? What's so fringe about him? What's so crazy about this character? I never got it. I'm like, oh, so he used to like lead the Shield or whatever,
right?
Big whoop, like. But now that he's over in AEW, every time he comes on TV or you see him with the post, he's bloodied up and he's like straight up like crazy madman.
Right. There's only one other person I think in AEW that gets bloody more, and it's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And there's some other wrestling news that I don't want to take too much time on, but apparently WWE now has a show on Tuesday nights called WWE Backstage.
FS1.
Yeah, that Renee Young is going to be hosting, and she's going to be joined. The surprise last night was that CM Punk has signed.
Yeah, how huge is that?
And he's gonna be joining that. So I'm interested.
Also, he's joining that show.
He's joining that show. He is not wrestling.
Okay, because I was gonna
like they can't bring him to like the pay per views or anything like that. The crowd already chants CM Punk all the time. You put him in the building. Oh my god,
dude! How big of a payday did he get just to come on and do a wrestling talk show?
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll cover Survivor Series is 2 weeks away. We'll have Erica and we'll talk about what CM Punk is doing and everything like that going forward. But here's some stuff that I definitely wanted to talk to you guys about. So the band Alice in Chains is the latest band to do a virtual concert.
I'd heard this, yeah.
In an online game. The game itself is called Adventure Quest. There's two versions of it. There's Adventure Quest 3D, which you can play on your PC. And then there's Adventure Quest Worlds, which is like a 2D version of it, which you can, I think, play in like your browser.
Okay.
Or you can play Adventure Quest on your phone. But there's a virtual battle concert going on from now until November 30th, where it's this like big arena, and these monsters spawn in, and you can just beat up these monsters. There's a boss, and on the side of the arena, they is a digital version of Alice in Chains, and they're playing Check My Brain and some of the stuff from Rainier Fog, their latest album. And you can access this particular level for the month.
Really interesting, because we're seeing more and more of this. The first time I heard about it, I think it was an alternative band. Maybe it was Bastille, and I think they did a concert in Fortnite or something like that.
Somebody did a Fortnite concert.
Yeah. I don't know for sure it was Bastille, but I know it was an alternative band of some kind.
And I remember the month before, I have to look it up, but somebody did a concert in World of Tanks.
Yeah, yeah.
World of Tanks?
Yeah.
Like the phone app?
I remember hearing that.
The Offspring. The Offspring did a concert in World of Tanks.
Come on, I think the Offspring could get it booked at a better app, you know? Yeah. Who's the manager for the Offspring right now? Booking him in the World of Tanks?
Pepsi Man with the save on the Twitch stream said Marshmallow was the one that did the concert in Fortnite.
Oh, okay. So that was like, he's like an electronic music. Right?
Yeah, but it's this new thing. I wonder if, I'll have to look, because I played Rocket League for a bunch last month. I wonder if anyone's done Rocket League yet. That would be kind of fun. Okay, so this is a story that is kind of an old story, but has resurfaced thanks to Reddit. There was an interview last year with Sirius, with Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and he revealed that Jimi Hendrix would play Risk, the board game Risk, while he was on LSD, and he said he was unbelievable at it.
Really?
That he, as far as he knows, he was never beaten at Risk. He said the quote was, Jimmy would play Risk on acid, and I never ever beat him at all. He was unbelievable at it. He was a military man. He was a paratrooper, and I don't know whether you know that about Jimmy, but no one ever beat him
because he served
Risk.
Right?
Yeah
because I think I remember seeing pictures of him like serving,
right?
But also I didn't realize he was such like a talented war strategist.
And there's a great picture of him with the other members of the Jimi Hendrix Experience with a Risk table in front of them.
That's cool. I never knew that.
No, it's interesting that that's a thing that can come out now.
Yeah.
That Jimi Hendrix was fantastic at Risk. So as I pose to you guys, isn't there a game that you can think of that you are just like untouchable? James, I know you love to trash talk even when you're losing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you I'm going to kick your ass in every single game that we play.
Right. Me and you have that in common. Like, I think it's funnier if I talk like I am unbeatable while I'm beating you. I won't say that I am the best at Jenga, but I know that Amy has this notion that she can beat me at it, and she's wrong. So.
Yeah, I need more time to go through my library of games mentally, because I'm like, am I good at video game? Am I good at board games?
I knew I said that because I knew she was in the chat. She's in all caps. She's like, you're a goddamn liar.
Oh, hi, Amy. I am, in my experience, undefeated at Clue. However, I would not have the confidence to say that you could not beat me at
that
Clue.
That you could not be beaten at Clue.
I loved that game when I was a kid. That was when we would bust out at the family cottage up north. And I have never been beaten at Clue. However, the only game, and it really doesn't even count, but
right.
There is a game that I am undefeated at and actually have confidence in.
Yeah.
And that is the staring contest. Because I figured out, I'm not kidding, there is a trick, which I'm not going to share because it's my secret.
It'd be your downfall.
How does he not blink? How does he not blink?
Seriously, I figured out a trick. And every time since I started doing it, no one has ever beaten me.
Interesting.
And I revealed it, I think maybe to my sister one time, one of my sisters, who I would crush at staring contests. And the closest I ever came to losing was after I told her the secret, and she immediately became a competitor against me.
Interesting.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm talking to somebody in the chat. Somebody is like,
there you go.
I'm going to play Rocket League with you, Chuck. I didn't know you played.
Al, the Stairmaster.
Is that a good? Because I'm 105. We didn't have video games when I was a kid.
Fair.
In Al's day, we had to create our own games, so we'd stare at each other.
I'm certainly not
stickball, kick the can, and staring contests.
I'm certainly not undefeated, but I do have a trick that allows me to win at arm wrestling contests, and I learned it from Bugs Bunny.
Okay.
When you set up and you get the arm and they go one, two, and on two, you kiss them. Oh. And then they have no idea. So you just bam, you get them on three. And
yell them in a surprise, wins again.
Exactly.
Oh, so there's a game we used to play.
Steve Black's going to win on my birthday then, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Man, he gave that smooch.
He did. Yeah, he did.
And I'm not, I was going to say, I wasn't going to explain that and let anyone who missed that episode go like, what the hell?
Right. You can go back on the archives of the Checkpoint XP stream or on our YouTube.
Also, what's a checkpoint?
Checkpoint XP.
I can tell what a checkpoint is.
Hey, now.
They're not on stream.
Right.
Oh, I think they're on stream.
I do play a lot of Tetris, thanks to that Tetris, that online 99? Tetris thing. Yeah, Tetris 99. I do play a lot of Tetris. I think I think my skills are pretty good.
Oh, we should go head to head, because I think I'm very good at Tetris as well, but I'm not confident enough to say that nobody can beat me in it.
Right.
The one game that I would say I could probably beat pretty much anybody in, unless I find somebody much stronger than me.
I was going to say, what's the most game you're most confident in?
Sure.
Like, we used to play this game growing up. It was similar to baseball, but we take a tennis ball, you throw it at the ground, let it bounce, and then it would hit a wall and bounce off the wall, and then where it would land, depending on where it would land, would determine what kind of a hit you got.
Oh,
and I was undefeated amongst my friends in that
interesting
game. Well, we called it like wall ball, but I don't know if there's an actual name. It could be just some game we invented, and that's why I'm the best at it. But it's also, I was really good at Mario Kart 64.
Hey, there you go.
But I'm sure I'm so rusty now.
That's somebody, another game I beat Amy at all the time.
Yeah, see, somebody, I would probably get my ass kicked right now if I were to play it. I'd have to, blow the dust off the fingers and get reacquainted with the 64 controller.
Does anyone else have a game that they invented with their friends that they would regularly play? Because I've got one.
No, I don't think I have one, really. I mean, we played a lot of, We played with like toy guns, so we had a lot of different things.
Yeah,
but no, I don't think I had a game that we invented. What was yours?
So this guy I grew up with, who was also named Al, and also more confusing, also named Alan. He was like my childhood best friend, and we used to take a baseball, throw it as high up into the air as you could, and it was like a pop fly.
Sure.
And then it was full contact. who could catch the ball.
Oh, wow. Oh man.
Full contact. I'm no holds barred.
He's got all of his eyes and limbs. Huh?
Yeah, right.
I am partially blind, so.
You're right.
And oh. Yes.
So we got the origin story of Chizuk, yeah. And we also have why Alan partially blind.
Why is Alan blind? I had nothing to do with that. But, no, it would be full contact. And, you know, you didn't always catch it. So, you know, so, and we would just take turns back and forth who threw it up in the air because obviously you could potentially have the advantage.
Yeah.
And we called it up to five because we discovered we could, whoever caught it five times, you win because we couldn't play longer.
So
than
now,
that.
When you say baseball, are you talking like regulation hardball baseball?
Throwing a hard ball up
in the air. Oh, my God.
It started the way it started was just playing catch. And then every so often we'd throw each other a pop fly and get under it. And I don't know, one of us had the idea to run into the other one and try and. Like, throw the pop fly and then try to catch it ourselves.
Right.
Well, I never knew you were such an extreme athlete. Extreme Al.
Yeah.
I saw a video online. Somebody was playing something similar where they were taking a basketball and, like, everybody looks down. Everybody gets in a circle and looks down. And one person takes a basketball and fires it up in the air. And whoever it hits is out. And they just keep doing this until, you know, they just keep going around. Like, when
you're firing it straight up in the air?
You fire it straight up in the air.
Just wait and just
you can't,
let it
Yeah, you
hit,
can't
yeah?
look. You have to let it hit you in the back of the head or the back or whatever.
I don't like that game.
No, I was like, I wouldn't have played that. No way. I mean, it looks kind of fun, but no way. But I thank you guys for playing along with what game are you
I can't believe I had an answer for anything ever.
I was surprised, too. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. I'm like, Al's got an answer. I can't cop out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I would have. I have no shame at all.
All right. Well, thanks. Thank you guys on Twitch. Thank you guys for downloading the podcast as well and joining us for another week of Nerd Radio. If there's a game that you are absolutely untouchable at, I encourage you to hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook and our at Nerd Radio 101. Let
or
us know.
Even if you just want to say hello, I encourage you. Because now that I'm taking...
Absolutely.
You and I are both now taking over the social media.
Oh, don't add me to this. You're the one that's on fire with the social media. Once you took it over, I stopped looking.
Give me something to do. You want to reach out and say hi. Nerd Radio 101.
I deleted the accounts off my phone. I'm like, Al's got this.
You still check it once in a while. Every so often I'll see James mentions the show and I'll go to retweet it and it's already been retweeted. So right. It's a combo effort, but I'm primarily running social media now.
Right,
so.
For sure. If you're I also encourage you if you're playing Death Stranding, which came out last week, or you're going to get the new Pokemon game, hit us up on social media, let us know what you think of it because I am 45 hours into Final Fantasy, so yeah. I can't afford to get either of these games until I have beaten this thing.
And if it is something like that, I'll tell Chuck to check the goddamn message.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Once again, thanks for rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and come on back. Nerd Radio returning next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you nerds.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
All right. Well, I think we're in the proper headspace to do an episode of Nerd Radio now. So,
no, I'm done. That's it.
So.
I blew my load.
Oh, premature, as usual. Right on time, Al. Right on time.
Oh, man.
Oh, Christ.
And Al wonders why I can't get a girl. Talking about his premature issues on stream.
It's going to be a hard time shifting gears to Disney Plus after this conversation.
Actually, I'd have zero issues with that. Because I blew my load plenty of times yesterday watching cartoons from my childhood.
Oh.
Sometimes I have a hard time remembering it's James and not Jefferson.
Yeah, well, don't go to me for anime stuff.
No, not at all.
I'm no Jefferson.
Nope. No, yeah.
Right. But yeah, there's
I'm sure
enough.
We're both very attractive men, but look good in bathing suits.
It's too bad that wasn't on the actual podcast. It would have been a great title. Both very attractive men, but there's three of us,
very
and just leave
men.
It up to everyone to figure out who the fuck it is.
Who's the attractive ones?
Don't let us know. I don't need that.
If you've watched the Twitch stream, you know very well that it is James.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, the hunk of the show.
That's right.
Yeah, I never got into anime.
No,
I just stayed with kids.
There's a lot of boobs
reason.
In anime, man.
Oh, I know.
There's a lot of dirty, dirty anime.
But I think that's
not into anime boobs, though.
I know.
All.
I think that was the one thing I always wanted to keep separate. I'm like, if I want to see boobs, I'll go.
You
to
don't
the,
want cartoon boobs.
Porn sites.
See, I don't.
You know?
If they show up, fine. Like, yeah. I don't care. Like, if, in a comic book, even. But I'm not at all excited. By
You're
it.
Not buying comics because
no.
boobs.
No.
Yeah. I'm glad I've been a normal porn man. So glad I'm
like, man,
normal porn.
You know what?
I didn't think I'd be thankful for that today, yeah. But I am also glad I'm into normal porn.
If you're into comic book porn, more power to you, man. Yeah. But, yeah. You know, I'm not going to act
and
like...
And again, comic book porn would have been a great title for the episode.
I'm not going to act like I haven't Googled X-Men porn.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen...
But...
Yeah. You know, I've seen Marge Simpson do some really dirty things to Moe.
That's
you know?
True.
But that's usually just... That's more so out of curiosity and less perversion.
Right. Jay Moore says it's not comic book porn. It's art.
Fair point.
It's smut, Pepsi Man. It's animated smut.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.